Thursday, April 19, 2018. The time is 3:04. In attendance are myself, Senator Stevens, as well as Senator Geisel and Senator Hughes. Senator Coghill's next door will be over if and when we need him. So we have a quorum to conduct business. Today we're going to take up House Bill 221 relating to workforce and educational statistics. Any questions before we start? Very good. Let's go ahead. Then we have the bill sponsors before us. Representative Drummond, thank you for being here, and George Ascott as well. If you'd put yourself on the record, please, and begin your presentation, I'd appreciate that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Senator Stevens, members of the Senate Education Committee. I really appreciate you hearing this bill this late in the session. As you will hear, it's an important bill. For the record, my name is Harriet Drummond. I'm chair of the House Education Committee, and with me is my aide, George Ascott. I'm honored to sponsor House Bill 221 as part of ongoing efforts in the legislature to take a detailed look at ways to improve how we as a state spend money on education and job training. Alaska spends more than $2 billion annually on education and workforce training, but do we know which programs produce trained Alaskans who are more likely to remain in Alaska and contribute to our economy? What is the return we receive on these huge and critical investments? House Bill 221 will help the legislature to answer this question by clarifying the authority of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education, or the ACPE, to receive and analyze existing data from state entities through a statewide workforce and education-related statistics program. HB 221 also changes the law to permit the Department of Labor and Workforce Development to share existing unemployment insurance data for the purposes of this statistics program, as permitted in federal regulation and contingent upon a written agreement with ACPE. HB 221 is not at all about tracking individuals or collecting data on them. It is about statistical outcomes. It is about taking a bird's-eye view of spending results based on analyzing and aggregating data that already exists to create outcome statistics. Failure to pass HB 221 this session will result in a great deal of wasted work, wasted money, and lost opportunities to the state, a step in the wrong direction at a crucial time as we look for ways to adjust to difficult economic conditions. Without the authority that HB 221 gives to the ACPE to receive and analyze needed data, it is highly unlikely that the current memorandum of understanding between the four partner agencies, which expires this fiscal year, will be renewed. The potential losses include destruction of about 10 years of de-identified data that's already loaded into the system, a severe reduction in the likelihood of attracting additional funds, approximately 20 to 25% of the federal grant, or about $800,000 to $1 million, was invested in developing file preparation related to loading the data, and it would be need to be done over again if Alaska realized we actually need this data. A database that is not used will require extensive testing when use is reestablished and could result in very high unneeded costs. We would lose the ability to efficiently respond to statistical outcomes requests to perform cross-sector analyses, such as the Alaska Performance Scholarship Outcomes Report, at a savings of 20 to 25% per report generated. In conclusion, HB 221 is designed to allow Alaska to realize the potential of the original $4 million federal grant which created the outcome system. This will in turn help the legislature to best allocate and utilize increasingly scarce resources available for education and workforce training. And it has no additional cost to the state. Let's not waste this opportunity. There are about 28 states that have these similar longitudinal outcomes databases, and more are getting added all the time. And we have an opportunity, so let's not waste it. And if it pleases the committee, next we have Stephanie Butler, Executive Director of the ACPE, and her Director of Operations, Carrie Thomas, for invited testimony and technical questions. Thank you, Senator Stevens and members of the committee.
Thank you very much, Representative, and we may have questions of you later, but let's go ahead and ask.
Thank you.
I see Stephanie is here with us then. And just before we do that, we have a sectional and a fiscal note at zero. Do you need to listen to that? We need more information? I think it's pretty clear. Okay, good. We'll skip that and move right ahead to Stephanie Butler. We have several people. Stephanie Butler And write a testimony, Carrie Thomas, Paul Prusing, Margaret McKinnon, Paloma Harbor, and Gwendolyn Gruning. And I just ask you to realize we are under a gun here, and I'm afraid we're going to lose our quorum. So I don't want to cut short your testimony, but and we certainly do appreciate your being here to talk to us. Good to see you again. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens and committee members. For the record, this is Stephanie Butler, Executive Director with ACPE, and with me is Carrie Thomas, our Operations Director. Briefly, the Outcomes Database is a system to de-identify and link existing data in order to provide policymakers with information on the outcomes of the state's education programs. For instance, what is the return on investment in the programs that we, ACPE, operate? Are these programs the most effective ways to increase higher education access and success? In this time of constrained resources, are we using our limited funds in ways that produce the best return for students and for the Alaska public to whom we're responsible? The things that we can easily measure, like the number of program participants or even the number of completers, can't answer that return on the public investment question. To answer the ROI question, we need to know long-term outcomes across different public sectors, such as Alaska spends roughly $5 million annually on the Alaska Education Grant Program. Do recipients graduate at higher rates than non-recipients? Does the grant help recipients enter the workforce sooner than similarly situated non-recipients? Do they earn more when they get there? Or earlier this session, we had questions about whether loan forgiveness was successful, given the costs of that forgiveness. If we had a cross-sector outcomes database back then, we could know. Did students who took forgivable loans complete their degrees and return to Alaska at rates higher than other students? Did they actually work in Alaska? Did they stay in Alaska at higher rates than borrowers who didn't receive forgiveness? In other words, without long-term cross-sector information, how do we know if we're spending public money in smart ways that make the most difference? The challenge to answering these questions is not that we don't have the data. We do have the data. The challenge is that the data is currently housed in separate databases at each of the partner organizations. Each time we have a question like this, agencies have to put together a data sharing MOU, extract the data from their various systems, match it, link it, and then get answers. And once we have the answers, we have to destroy the data in accordance with federal law to protect individual privacy because it's identified data. This means that if we have a follow-up question or we want to do the report next year, the process has to start all over again. Not only can this be inefficient and expensive, but more importantly, it can also result in the duplication of identifiable citizen data. HB 221 will allow us to efficiently use this data while enhancing privacy by ensuring the data is de-identified. Specifically, it streamlines the process and addresses data privacy by allowing labor to share unit-level wage records with the outcomes database, which will securely house de-identified linked statistics from ACPE, from the university, from the Department of Education, and the Department of Labor. But right now, we have only GED data and training data from labor. With HB 221, it will also house wage record statistics. As reported in your information packets, Alaska currently spends more than $2 million annually on our K-12 post-secondary and technical workforce training, but we don't have the database that can provide the efficient, cost-effective, secure outcomes statistics. The outcomes database will enhance Alaska's ability to provide feedback in several ways, allowing labor to provide unit-level wage data to the outcomes database, something 28 states already share. It prohibits the sharing of any unit-level data from the database with the federal government. To maximize data privacy, it codifies in law that the data in the database must be de-identified and sets out what that means, and it clarifies ACPE's authority to maintain longitudinal data. In addition, HB 221 assists policymakers in that it provides a more secure method to transport data between agencies. It lowers costs to access and analyze information. It combines multiple processes into a highly secure, automated, and cost-effective process. It provides greater access to longitudinal information, and it reduces the time and cost required to perform program outcomes reporting. I would note that HB 221 does not commit any funding for these purposes. You'll note the bill has the zero fiscal note. The outcomes database was created a few years ago under a federal grant and built already to accept the workforce data, so there is no new cost as a result of HB 221. Longer term, it's our intent to seek resources, potentially through another federal grant, to provide outcomes reports once these additional statistics are available in the outcomes database. In this time of such severely constrained resources, we believe there's a significant opportunity to attract grant dollars to this project. recognizing that tough budget times make it even more important that policymakers be able to receive the cross-sector information needed to evaluate outcomes. I'd also like to be very clear for the record that we don't anticipate being able to produce these records and outcomes analyses immediately upon passage of HB 221, were it to pass, since we and our partner agencies would need funding in order to use the data and do those analyses. However, HB 221 does get us a very important step closer and a step without additional cost to being able to provide you with those analyses as we seek grants or other funds. One of the reasons we are anxious to move forward as quickly as possible is that we do not expect Alaska to be competitive in attracting grant dollars for this project without the changes that would be affected by HB 221. In summary, the long-term goal is to have the ability to quickly and inexpensively produce reports like the APS Outcomes Report or the Sample Migration Report in your information packets to look at the outcomes of other programs, K-12 programs, collegiate and career training programs, and provide you with the information to know not just how much the program costs, but what the return is on that investment. And before I close, just a note on an issue of paramount importance to all of the outcomes partners, and that's data privacy and security. The organizations providing this data have a great deal of expertise and experience in this area, since we all currently are maintaining databases with personal information. We all recognize we have a very sober responsibility of ensuring that state data is private and is secure. And to that end, we've built the outcomes database and reporting protocols as follows. No new data is collected. All information is existing data only. Data is de-identified or stripped of personal information, such as date of birth, social security number, address, or any sort of ID number, before the linked data is stored. Data going into the system is not a dump of all the data the providing agency maintains. It's only those data elements relevant to evaluating program outcomes, and then only for participants in the programs. Personal information is never stored in the same database as the de-identified information. All the data are also encrypted. De-identification and encryption processes are automated, which means they can't be turned off or overlooked or circumvented. Access to the system is also automatically logged and reported. The database is physically located in the State of Alaska's Secure Data Center, which is where the state agency's identified data generally also resides. Staff with access to the system must undergo a background check, and the system undergoes an annual security audit, the results of which are public. A final important point is that the purpose of the outcomes database is not to track individual student data over a student's career, and the system was specifically designed not to do that. Rather, the purpose is to create aggregated statistical outcomes information to evaluate whether education programs and interventions work over the long term. So thank you for this opportunity to present this information. I feel like I've whipped through it really quickly. I hope it's been useful to you, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Butler. I appreciate your long-term dedication to post-secondary education. I appreciate your comments on the zero fiscal note and that no funds will be spent until and unless a grant is received, and this would make you a little more competitive in the passage of it. I know Senator Hughes has some questions, and then Senator Giesel.
Yeah,
Senator Hughes?
And I want to be quick because I know the intention is to move this out. It's the last committee of referral, but as the insurance of privacy is one of our mandates under the state constitution, and you have, it sounds like you've really looked at that and take that very seriously, but I just want to make sure there's not a loophole, because as I read in section two, it allows I want to declare too, I have a conflict of interest. I have a seat on the Alaska Commission of Post-Secondary Education. And I also want to thank the sponsor, because I really am excited about the outcomes and what we will learn from this. But I just want to make sure privacy is protected. So in Section 2, it allows ACP to share data and information. And then on line 12, and then line 17, it talks about removing that personally identifiable information before placement in the database. So just as a real quick visual, let's suppose you have stacks of workforce information, you have stacks of education-related information, and you're getting ready to take all this information and get it into the database. So once it's in the database, we can be assured that personal information is not going to be shared with other agencies or organizations. My question is up in lines 10 through 13 or 12, where we can share data and information. Could it ever be taken from these stacks that you would share these stacks with people that does have personally identifiable information? Or can you assure me through this language that the information would only be shared after it came out of the database and the personally identifiable information has been removed? And one of the reasons I'm curious is because we're specifying that we not provide the unit records, which is that personal information, to the federal government, but we're not saying anything about not providing it to anyone else. And I'm wondering, do we need to add federal government and other agencies and organizations? I'm just wondering if we've left a little loophole where you could share this information over here before it's been entered into the database that would have personal information in it.
Through the chair, thank you, Senator Hughes, for the important question about privacy. Data that is in the system will be de-identified, and we cannot share that data under existing law with an organization that doesn't already have a right to receive it at a unit level. And the purpose of the language about not sharing it with the federal government was to ensure that were the federal government to come to us and say we have an interest in sharing or seeing unit level data, that that we not provide that. And as a result, we've actually built the database, so it will be extraordinarily difficult even for us to try and provide unit level data to an outsider.
Excuse me, I don't think you're following, because I understand everything coming out of the database, everything's been removed, and so you can share that and I feel comfortable with that. I'm talking about all the information you are gathering from workforce information, from education-related activities before you put it in the database, because in lines 10 through 12, it says you could share data and information, but it doesn't specify share data and information from the database. And so I just want to make sure we don't have a loophole here where there's information that has not yet been entered into the database could be shared, and it still has the personally identifiable information in it.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, thank you for clarifying the question. The data before it goes into the database, which is personally identifiable, belongs or is managed by the organization that's responsible for it, such as the Department of Labor for the wage record, us for student loan records, and all of the laws that apply to the data continue to apply to it. We would not be able to share. The commission would have no authority to share data from another organization with anybody. The organization providing that data has the authority to do that, not the commission.
Okay, and follow
and
up,
and
Mr.
just King. A moment before you go on, I'm getting a head nod from Paloma Harbor back there that maybe she can testify to that issue as soon as we finish with Stephanie.
Yes, and I'm just concerned once it's come from Department of Labor and sitting on your desk and it's in your possession, because it gives you permission to share data information, but it doesn't specify that what you can share is from the database, and that's my concern. So if I can be assured of that, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. And through the chair, Senator Hughes, I believe that Ms. Thomas can describe the process, and that will be helpful.
Okay.
And by the way, I just want to say,
yes,
on the record, I love the way you say pronounce the word process as process.
My accent shows up when I'm nervous, so now I've confessed.
Well, thank you very much. And we will ask Paloma to come up a little later and get her comments as well. But if Carrie Thomas, if you'd care to identify yourself for the record.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for the opportunity to talk about the privacy and security features and the process in the system. For the record, I'm Carrie Thomas, Director of Operations at the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. So if we want to jump right into your question, the partner organizations that contribute data to the outcomes system don't give up control of the data. They log into the system and upload the data, and then it goes through a matching process where the files are separated into de-identified records and then random IDs that follow the records into the de-identified system. And then the source files that are sent to the system are not retained, so they're deleted once they go through the matching and de-identification process. So if the question were to come to the commission that somebody was requesting data, we would simply refer them back to the partner organizations that provided the data, because the PII or the full set of data doesn't exist in the outcome system.
Thank you. Thank you. That assures me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Senator Giesel.
I'll pass, Senator. I have to leave soon. I don't want to take up my time.
Okay. Thank you. Anything further you wanted to say to us, Ms. Thomas?
Do you want me to proceed with? I mean, I had some prepared remarks about the process that are much more in depth than what I just shared with you. But
I think that's adequate. Is it?
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much, Ms. Thomas. Let's go on to Paul Prusing, who is here with us then. Thank you for being here, Paul. Paul is the Director of Teaching and Learning at the Department of Education.
Hi, for the record, my name is Paul Prusing. I'm the Director for the Division of Student Learning, and I apologize for being late. I was in the House Finance Committee, and we had a long debate.
It's sort of crazy around here right now. I know everyone's running down the halls, but I appreciate you could find time to be with us, Paul. Please go ahead.
Yep. Well, I'm just here in support of this. This has been a project that the department has been working on since about 2012. The commissioner and I think everyone here appreciates data-informed decision-making, and any data that we have that we can utilize better in a secure fashion to help inform policymakers such as you, we think it's a good direction to go.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fussy, any questions? Thank you, sir. We have Margaret McKinnon. Is she here?
I'm Margaret today, but she's not here.
Okay.
Margaret,
well.
Margaret, Marcy.
Margaret, you know, interchangeable.
We'd like to get you up here.
I could be whoever you wanted me to be today, Mr.
Let's ask Paloma Harbor to come up if she would, please, and maybe she can help us a little bit on the data issue and as well as any comments she has.
Good evening, Chair Stevens and committee. For the record, Paloma Harbor, Administrative Services Division Director for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I was here mainly in case you had any questions on our fiscal note. But just to be extra clear and to answer the question asked earlier, we have specific data security standards on our data. We can't even share it with ACPE for this purpose without a statutory change. And the data security requirements and standards that apply to us apply to anybody that we do share our data with. And so ACPE cannot reshare the data with anybody. And they have to destroy the data after they're done, you know, with it in their system. Any additional questions on that?
I do have a quick one. I know we're really short on time, but in Section 3, it's requiring, and maybe this should have been a Stephanie question, but there are certain requirements for ACPE to share with other state agencies, but not other organizations. It sounds like you've got requirements with whomever you share your data that they not share it, or is it just with other state agencies?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understood the question.
You just mentioned you have very high standards for sharing your data, and mm-hmm. they can't just share it with anyone else. Does that apply just to other state agencies or to anyone you share it with, any organization?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, it's any organization that we share with. And I guess I should say they can't redisclose the individual or the unit level data. They can disclose reporting outcomes, as mentioned, that come out of using the data, but they can't re-report unit-level data, anything that could potentially even result in somebody being able to figure out that that was an individual person. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense, and perhaps the sponsor can explain later, because we're up on the clock, why we're only making certain requirements when it's shared with other state agencies and aren't including sharing it with anyone, any organization. So thank you.
Thank you. And just to ask a question about, it's sort of unusual, it seems like you would, you're looking for a grant, but you would put it in passively, even though there's no money involved, but the grant hopefully would come into the future from the federal government. And does that make it more competitive and put us in a more competitive position to have this bill pass in applying for a grant?
Chair Stevens, yes, I would imagine that we would be more competitive in an application if we had legislative approval to even do this work.
Great. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Gwendolyn Greening is online. Gwendolyn, are you with us?
Hello, yes? Can you hear me?
That's, yes. Yeah, please.
For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. It's my understanding that our teleconferencing hardware networking, that the people online can hear us, but at the moment we can't hear you, and we very much want to hear your testimony, but we may need a brief at ease for our tech guys outside waiting to jump underneath that table to probably plug in a wire to make it work. If we might have that indulgence, we might be able to pull it off.
Okay, we have three people online, Gwendolyn Greening, Carrie Ann Cardy and Doug Walrath. Will take a brief at ease. To call the Education Committee back to our, I apologize for the technical difficulties we're having. We thought we might use a cell phone to reach Gwendolyn Greening, Carrie Ann Carley, and Doug Walrath. Unfortunately, that would not be recorded, so it's not going to work there. So I understand those three people are in favor of the bill. Is that right, Stephanie, and supportive of it? We'd ask you to submit any information you have in writing. I think you can hear me, but we unfortunately can't hear you. So if you'd submit to us in writing any information, that would be really helpful. And let's go back to Stephanie Butler. There was a question that you had, Senator Hughes.
Yes, and I'll just repeat it. And it was after hearing about Department of Labor that they have very high standards that when they share with any organization or a state agency, those standards continue on. And in Section 3 of the bill, it's got the requirement that there be something, a disclosure, and something written that if they're going to share it, so that's all arranged ahead of time. But that section only refers to if the information is being shared with another state agency. It doesn't apply to other organizations. I was just wondering what the reason was. Is the expectation is you wouldn't share it with other organizations, or you don't want to expect that same level of accountability? I'm just confused why it wouldn't be, in addition to other state agencies, it'd be any organization.
Thank you, Senator. Through the chair, Section 3 applies to the Department of Labor data, and it is specifically allowing the department to share that data with us. All of the other requirements relative to the Department of Labor continue and persist, so we would not be allowed to share that further. And I may need to ask Ms. Harbor to assist me with that.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind coming forward, Paloma Harbor.
Thank you.
For the record, Paloma Harbor, Administrative Services Division Director for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Through the chair, Senator Hughes. So section or Alaska Statute 232110 covers the labor unemployment insurance data that we're talking about. And there are sections for different criteria for sharing the data. This section of the bill is just adding ACPE, the outcomes database, to that statute. So it's not all inclusive. So this bill is just specific to sharing it with ACPE, so the reference to a state agency. I believe that's the case.
And follow up?
Yes, please.
And it sounds like you're just applying that high standard that you were talking about beforehand. You're applying it to ACP, which means my bad, because when I saw the department here, I was thinking it was referring to the Department of Education, ACPE, sharing the information. But you're just applying your high standard in this situation.
That's correct.
And that also is assuring. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Harvey. Thank you, Stephanie, for the questions. Thanks so much. Open public testimony. Anyone care to testify at this time? Hearing and seeing none, we'll close the public testimony. And any questions, additional questions? If not, we'll take a brief at ease to gather a quorum. Send the Education Committee back to order. What is the will of the committee, Senator Coghill?
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 211 from committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal note.
Thank you.
221. 221.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any objection? The motion passes. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the document. Committee back to order. If there's no further business before us, we are adjourned.